Do wool gloves need to be checked for shotness? I don't believe that they do, but it's very interesting. I mean, a lot of the things today, say in America, there's no reason to believe that they have to be checked for shotness. Because even if they're sewn together, which they probably are, they wouldn't use a linen thread. Because linen thread, first of all, is more expensive than the cotton threads. And the only time you use a linen thread is where you need strength. So sometimes they may sew the buttons onto a jacket with linen thread. It used to be. Today they don't even do that anymore, because it's true that linen thread is more hardy and enduring than a cotton thread. But today, there's polyester threads, and there's cotton-covered polyester threads. So the polyester is very strong, and it's not necessary anymore to use it. But these gloves may come from China, they may come from Thailand, they may come from Taiwan, or all these kind of countries over there. First of all, we don't know if it's available to them. If only it's those threads, and there probably is, but we don't know for sure. And they can use anything over there. The Star K is involved in shotness testing. We had a very interesting thing. You know, a jacket comes with a sleeve. So when the sleeve and the body of the jacket are not made from the same piece of cloth, I mean, they're sewn on. So when they sew it on, between the two pieces that are being sewn on, they put a tape. There's a tape there which is used like a gasket. When you put two pieces of metal together, so you have put a gasket between to help them stay together. So there's a gasket over there in the wherever the two pieces by the sleeve. There's a piece of tape there. We found a jacket. On one side of the jacket, the right side of the jacket, had shotness, the left side didn't have shotness. So you think it's made by the same, probably the jacket's made by the same company. So either when they buy these tapes, either by shotness, no, by shotness, no. How such a thing happens is simple. Because today, there are one line makes the right side of the jacket, and the other side makes the left side of the jacket, and it's sewn together in the middle, usually, in the middle of the back. And so then after they have the right side and the left side, then they put the two pieces together. So the right side had this kind of a tape, and the other one had the other type of tape. And so these things happen. So when you come from these foreign countries, which are not considered like third world countries especially, so they could use anything, and there's no way to know for sure. So if it's coming from these countries, there is a possibility. I don't think it's a probability. I don't think you're mechuyev to check them. But if you have any suspicion that maybe this doesn't look like a regular thread, you should get it checked. Okay. Is a chayim pronounced as O, oi, or ow? So really, there are different traditions about it, and I believe it has to do where people come from. I believe that, like in Poland, there's no such sound as O. That doesn't exist. In Germany, there was no such sound as O. So in Poland, they said Oi. And in Germany, they said Ow. In America, there is an O, like snow. So it's a word that has an O in it, the O sound, so they called it O. I once spoke to my Rosh Hashiva, Rabban Carlos Eichler Bracha, and told him that I don't think, I told him this, I don't think that Oy is the correct pronunciation for a chaylam. And the reason why I said it is because it says in the Pasuk, Vayisa Mashalai Vayamar, by Bilam, Oy mi yichye misumakel. So that Oy is spelled Aleph Vav Yud. So Torah, what does that word Oy mean? It doesn't mean anything. It's an exclamation. So why did the Torah put an extra Yud in it? If you're going to say it would be Aleph Vav, you'd read it Oy, so then it would be the same thing. There was no purpose in this extra Yud. So Torah doesn't write anything that's not necessary. So therefore I said that I don't think that that's the right pronunciation. But it's become the minhag in many places to say it that way, and once a thing becomes a Jewish minhag, you can't discard it just because you have a raya. The Maharal Sheshiva said that in Lita, they used to pronounce a chaylam A. Tera. There's a Tera. It's a Tera. So, my Rosh Hashiva said that he doesn't think that that's right either. Because if that would be right, there wouldn't really be any difference between Sefer and Sefer. Which meant that there wouldn't be a difference between Sefer and Sefer. But he pronounced it that way. So he said it's not Mustafa, because there are no two syllables really, there are two vowels that sound the same. So if a tzera, there wouldn't be a difference between a tzera and a chaylam. So he thinks also it was not right. He had no problem with the O.
There was once a Litvish Rav who was talking to, in town, who was talking to a group of Balei Tshuva, and he was telling them that on Pesach you have to drink 4 cases of wine. And they said, Rabbi, you mean we have to drink 4 cases of wine?
Okay. Can one greet his Rebbe with Shalom Aleichem or Good Shabbos? Really, you're supposed to say Shalom Aleichem Rabbi. Shalom Aleichem Rabbi. And if he, or Shalom Aleichem Rabbi Amari. But it's not, that's the proper way of saying it. But if you say Shalom Aleichem, it's not Asa. Good Shabbos, you definitely could say. You say Good Shabbos. Proper way people would say Good Shabbos Rebbe. But if he, it's not us, say Good Shabbos. When we say, come Friday night, we say Shalom Aleichem Al Hasharis. We just give him Shalom Aleichem. We don't say Rebbe, because it's not our Rebbe. You just Shalom Aleichem. So that's fine. Can one greet, should one kiss the mezuzah when walking through a doorway? It's not a chiyuv to do that. It does say in the Ramah that the minhag is to put your hand on the mezuzah when you go through the doorway coming into a house or going out of a house or a building. But the Ramah doesn't say to kiss it. It just says put your hand on it. But there's nothing wrong with kissing it if you want to. But you're not mechuyav to do that. Should the knots of one's tzitzis be showing? The Torah says, "Ureisim aysay yischartim kol mitzvos Hashem." You should see the tzitzis. I remember all the mitzvos. How do you remember all the mitzvos when you see the tzitzis? So Rashi says in Chumash, because tzitzis is with gematria 600. And there are 5 knots and 8 strings,